We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
They ain't never seen this Cam. They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam. I love it. I adore it. I admire it. I want to taste it.
The New England Patriots love Jarrett Stidham.
Dale Arnold.
Snyder says, quote, "We'll never change the name."
And it's just a question of when they legally can put the name out there.
Rich Keefe.
And obviously, you try to chase greatness, and Tom's got six, so I'm going to try to do whatever I can to at least get to that number.
Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart.
But you going with Nukeel, if you're banking everything that Nukeel Healthy is Harry.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keefe. Sports Radio WEEI broadcasting live from our Shaw's and Star Market studios. Andy Hart from WEEI.com is in the house with us. So last Thursday, the last time Rich and I worked together, because I was off on Friday, last Thursday, we tried to figure out the most popular athletes in Boston now that, you know, obviously Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski, and before that, David Ortiz, all locks in previous years
Mookie
on
Betts.
That list. Mookie Betts would have been on that
Kyrie
list.
Kyrie had a short window there where he was super popular. He's gone.
David Price.
Yeah,
I don't think he was never in the mix.
Yeah.
So much. Different list.
So we tried to figure it out last Thursday, and on Friday, Rich took it to the next step and tried to figure out the most popular athlete on each of the four Boston teams. I got a text this morning from our buddy Butch Stearns. He said, "Hey, Dale, if it comes up on your show today, yes, we did steal your idea from last week about the most popular Boston athlete in town right now. I did a lengthy piece this weekend, and we did a poll last night. You guys gave me the idea, and I just ran with it. All credit to you guys."
Yeah, you better give us credit, Rex Chapman. Steal our stuff.
Thank you, Butch. We appreciate it. So you probably were shocked, Rich, at the results of the Patriots poll. Now, you came up with the four athletes that you put on there: Dante Hightower, Stephon Gilmore, Julian Edelman, Cam Newton.
Yeah, so I thought it was an interesting exercise because when we did it on Thursday, you, me, and Scheim all had a different number one. We each did our own top five before we went sport by sport.
And I didn't
team
have
by
Newton
team.
In my top five.
I did have Newton in my top five, but I did have Edelman number one overall. And Edelman won the poll, but he won it in a landslide.
Like blew Cam Newton away. Now, again, it goes back to, I think people are voting like I did on a technicality. I haven't even seen him wear a jersey yet or throw a pass yet.
True, but if you said who's the most popular athlete in Tampa Bay right now, I think Brady would win in a landslide. I think if you said in Miami, I think Tua might even get a bunch of votes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just, you know, I think there's so much hype and excitement around Cam Newton. And you notice he got more votes than Gilmore, the defensive player of the year, and Hightower, who's been here since he was drafted. But Edelman won in a landslide. I mean, he's your Super Bowl MVP. He's been here a long time. You know, big personality, too. So I understand why Edelman won. And really, the teams all had clear-cut winners. And
yeah,
that's why
they were runaways for the
they
most
all
part.
Were. And that's why I'm interested, once we put them on a poll, and we'll do that too at Dale Keefe WEEI, get the one representative from each team. I still think Edelman will win, but it's going to be closer.
So my top five, and I can't remember the order that I put them in, but I had Edelman, Bergeron, Tatum, Bogarts, and Devers. Four of those five guys won their individual team polls. And won them going away.
Oh, they weren't close. Tatum smoked everybody. A distant second was Marcus Smart, actually. Xander Bogaerts won in a landslide. Devers and JD Martinez had about equal votes for second. And then I guess technically the closest one was the Bruins, with Patrice Bergeron got 56.2% of the vote. Second was David Pastrnak, but at like 17.5. So it's wow. It seems to be. Obviously, Tatum's only been here for a couple of years, but that's the thing with the Celtics is, you know, Marcus Smart's the longest tenured. They've gone through more of a roster churn than the other teams have, but it's guys that have been there, guys that have won, right? Bogart's won, Edelman won, Bergeron has won.
Mm-hmm.
And then Tatum is the guy that I think everybody's kind of latching on to, thinking, all right, he can be the next superstar, already shown some signs of it this year, but clearly a changing of the guard. But these four, I think it'll be pretty interesting to see who comes out on top.
These numbers make it clear that it wouldn't have mattered who the nominees were for each. Like one of the Twitter followers to our poll last week said, every single person listening was screaming Benintendi over Sale. Okay, if you'd put Benintendi in place of Sale.
Yeah, Bogaerts smashes everybody.
Right. Bogaerts still clobbers it. You know, Kemba Walker's on the list for the Celtics. It wouldn't really matter who you picked. Right. Jason Tatum had 76% of the vote. That's not going to change much.
So my wife, not a sports fan, I gave her the test. Because sometimes it's, you know, diehards might be a little too close to it, right?
And you're supposed to do that when you poll, right? Are you like a big sports fan, a non-sports fan, whatever.
So I asked her, and I think it's also interesting, too, because obviously for the last 4 months there hasn't been sports on in our house. So it's even further removed from it. And so I asked her, I'm like, how many New England Patriots can you name?
Oh.
She said Julian Edelman, Cam Newton.
That was it?
That ended the list.
Wow.
I said, how many?
Reigning defensive player of the year, shed a tear.
Nope, she's not a fan. I go, how many Celtics can you name? I was actually kind of surprised, but she goes, Jason Tatum, and I think that's it. I was like, okay.
I was going to say, it must be on in your house every night, although you're downstairs, right?
I've been downstairs a lot. Oh, it is. But, like, she doesn't sit there, like, so, you know, all four of the teams are on just about every night when in a real year.
Right,
like,
in a real universe.
But, like,
right.
That just shows you how little she's paying attention. If she's in the room, she's on her phone, or she's like, can you go watch this downstairs? And, like, that kind of thing. So, yeah, all the Patriots games I've made her sit and watch, she came up with Edelman and a guy who wasn't even playing on the team last year. So she knew Tatum. I said, how many Bruins can you name? Zero. She couldn't name a single Bruin.
Ow. Poor hockey.
And then I asked her Red Sox, and she goes, Bogaerts. And I go, okay.
Really?
What's his? Yeah, she goes, Bogaerts. I go, what's his first name? She goes, Humphrey. I go, what? And I was like, it's Xander Bogaerts. She's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And then she's like, and I think they
I
have
liked a- her answer better.
Right. And then she goes, and I think they have a Martinez. And I was like, okay, good. So she didn't get the JD.
Good.
Careful.
But she knew.
No points for that.
She knew Martinez.
No. Drop
and,
that, actually.
Yeah, Pedro. So she knew like six total athletes that are currently in Boston. But obviously she knew who Brady was. She knew who Gronk was. I think she knew Mookie Betts. She knew, like, when it was Garnett, Pierce, and Allen, like, those were all, like, household names. Those were easy ones. Ortiz is an easy one. But, like, this new wave, like, I don't know if there's as many household names as there certainly was even just 2 years ago.
But also think of the dramatic changes in the last, whatever you want to say, 4 years. Certainly this offseason. Mookie Betts, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski.
Mm-hmm.
Truly elite guys.
Crazy.
Left town.
Yeah.
But Chris Sale coming. Kyrie coming and then going. Like, there's been a pretty dramatic star, you know, star is born, star burns out, star moves on here in Boston sports in the last few years.
I thought that Bergeron would be the most popular player on the Bruins, and he was by a fairly wide margin.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually surprised that Pastrnak beat out Chara.
Me too. Yeah,
Now, Pastrnak is wildly popular among Bruins fans.
It's the goal scoring.
Especially young Bruins fans.
Yeah.
He's got the smile on his face. He scores 50 goals. You know, all that stuff. All the things that would make him popular. But Chara is the 6'9"
right.
Hard to miss him on the street corner kind of guy.
And I would have thought if there was someone that Rich's wife or someone like that could name, Chara might be the guy because of he's been here for a long time, and he's a unique physical figure.
Right.
That,
oh,
that
for sure.
Stands out.
Yeah, yeah.
I would have thought he would have had a chance of getting that vote.
My guess is sort of the, the veteran Bruins fan might have picked Bergeron over Chara, right? Whereas the younger fan just says, well, I like Pastrnak. Guy scores a million goals, and he himself is super young. I like how he plays now. And the newer fan probably doesn't realize just how dominant Chara was,
right?
Because that you're going back a few years when he's winning Norris and he's doing all that stuff. He's still good, but he's not what he was. So I could see why he's there. Marshawn, though, I'm surprised got the least amount, just 10% of the vote for a guy who last year might have been one of the five best players in all of hockey.
But I have to say, of the four guys that you put on your poll last Friday, he'd probably be fourth on my list of those four.
Yeah. I thought he'd have a little bit more because he also goes back to the Cup team.
Yep.
He wasn't as good as Bergeron or Chara was on that team, but he was on that team.
Yeah.
And then he's emerged. He's a Team Canada guy. I know Bergeron is, but I'm saying, like, Marchand is, and he's so polarizing around the league that Bruins fans have to defend him because every other place hates him.
And circle the wagons.
Right. Like, whereas everybody likes Bergeron. Everybody, like, Montreal fans like Bergeron, but Marchand, everybody hates him.
I do wonder about the group that responded and how that would vary based on... Because I think in some of these things, some like I do think physical stature matters for popularity sometimes in either direction. You can say Dustin Pedroia, Muggsy Bogues, Isaiah Thomas when he was here, or Taco.
Taco like, Fall. We almost put him on the list.
I think sometimes those guys that stand out for just their pure visual, the size, the nature of who they
the
are.
The guy that Vince McMahon would want.
Yes. Or P.T. Barnum. Like, there's a reason P.T. Barnum had, like, a, you know, travel, I don't know what you can call it, freak show or whatever. Bearded lady or world's strongest.
Yeah.
Right? Like, people are drawn to those outliers. So if you're just... Well, he's a 6'8" forward. Well, he doesn't really stand out. So
no,
better but he's well score. Be better be really good.
A big personality.
But I also wonder. You know, we talk about if this had taken place a year ago, Brad Marchand, where he would have finished. Would it have been a higher vote total? Where would this go in a few months?
It's also weird to have the voting now because you got to like remember what these guys were like on the court or the ice because it's been so long.
I think it could change dramatically if you did this again in October. Say, you know, Pastrnak leads the Bruins to a cup. Say he's the star of the Stanley Cup. I think he could have a huge boost.
Or
if Tatum leads the Celtics to a title, he could just extend his lead.
What if the Patriots are 4-0 with Newton as their quarterback?
I think Newton
and
will blow up.
Superman,
he's a superstar. The reason he's in the conversation now is he arrives as a superstar.
Correct. Right.
Oh, he's
no,
not
I,
a superstar Patriot.
I think in a month into the season, he'll be at the top of the list.
He could be. Or he could not be, Dale. Like, he could stink. He could be hurt, and he could be not playing.
Well, then,
and,
then that's just,
it's
you're gone.
Then you're living off your reputation.
And the only reason I left him off, and it was a technicality, was I haven't seen him yet. I mean, I've seen him on Instagram videos. And
sweating.
Looks great. And he hasn't even seen this version of him, so how could we?
He's going north, too, which is good, because that's where we are.
Yeah, he's going north.
Be unfortunate if he didn't know which
direction.
Dad, are
you going to Carolina?
No, we're not.
Where was he when he said it?
Who knows?
I'm just wondering.
It's hard to get the landmarks.
What if he was in Maine typing that video?
Now, here's
Canada?
Well, here's an interesting point here. Technically, when athletes return to the Commonwealth, they have to quarantine for 2 weeks, which means if you look at the dates of Patriots training camp, they kind of have to be here today or tomorrow.
Theoretically, if you still believe training camp's going to open on time, too. That's another potential issue.
No, I understand, and that's fair. But, for instance, Jarrett Stidham is here. I know this because I now follow Kennedy Stidham on Instagram, and she was posting a whole bunch of those videos from Providence yesterday. So he's here. Mohamed Sanu is here. Stidham is throwing to Mohamed Sanu, apparently, here. David Andrews was with Stidham today.
Hoyer was there.
There you go. Now, I don't know when Newton... I would assume Newton would have to be here today or tomorrow.
I would think.
Yeah.
But I don't know what to think anymore.
It's hard to say, right?
But yes, if we're going to go sort of by the book, then they should be here right about now. They should be settling in unless they know something we don't know and maybe training camp isn't going to start on time.
So
it's a different plan.
So is that just your guess or is that what you feel is legitimately a problem out there?
That there could be an alteration of the schedule?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a concern there. I do think there's a concern. I'm not sure they have all the ducks quite in order right now. We'll see. I mean, I hope I'm wrong. I hope July 28th, hell, I hope we're up on that little perch doing a live broadcast as the Patriots take the field and Cam Newton jogs out to pure silence because there's no one there.
Sucks. Because he would have gotten just an enormous reaction his first time.
Cam is better.
Said last week that I felt of the four sports that are trying to return, the four major sports, I thought the NHL had the best chance of finishing their season. And I feel more strongly about it today than I did last week. I think that the system they have in place, the fact that they've gone to Canada, you know, if they can get everybody somewhat healthy out of here and into Canada, I feel much better about their chances. I don't love even the NBA being a bubble team, but going to the hottest spot, not just in America, in the world for coronavirus, that just scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, and if you were going to rank them, and I don't know if you went down that in your head, the NFL, I would say, is fourth. that they play a full 16-game season in playoffs and Super Bowl.
Well, because the second wave thing we don't know about. And if the second wave does, if it's as bad as some are saying it's going to be, and you're playing in all these different cities all over the country, and there's no real – yeah, the players are getting tested, but you don't know where the hell they're going after games or after practice.
And there's more of them.
Yeah. Right,
I think risks to me for the NFL are just mathematically bigger because I have more players, more coaches, more cities, more travel, of everything.
I would put them in baseball on one tier and hockey and basketball on the other. Like, I think it's two separate things. And I think that, you know, baseball also has the underlying, well, we don't really want to play anyway. This isn't what we signed up for. We're not getting all of our money. We're kind of pissed about this. And, you know, the testing sucks. For some reason, they got the worst kind, like the cheapest knockoff testing. So they have a real uphill battle. Whereas, again, the two sports that are essentially just trying to play their playoffs, it's going to be so much easier to finish because a couple weeks go by, all right, all these teams are home. A couple more weeks go by, these more teams are home. And then by the end, there's only two. Whereas baseball's plan right now is 60 games and expanded playoffs for 30 teams in 30 different cities with
and traveling
these expanded
between
rosters.
Those cities.
Right.
Oh, yeah, add that too.
But
like
the
that,
biggest thing is, and I'm doing the Johnny Manziel money symbol again, Dale, your league, the NHL, quietly went about agreeing to a CBA that included how many years of basically a level cap and everything?
Well, it's a level cap this year and next year, but they have labor peace guaranteed for the next 6 years.
Right.
And that includes a return to Olympic play as well.
Okay, so they did that kind of just quietly, right? Behind the scenes, all of a sudden we got a deal. Whereas Major League Baseball, we knew if somebody sneezed in the negotiating room, we knew every detail. Bad. And now
another
the NFL...
and an interesting side note to that, the NHL and the NHLPA accomplished this without ever being in the same room at the same time.
Right. And
they did this all virtually.
And without hating each other and without
so
you know,
possible,
ripping. And now it seems like the NFL is going down a little bit of the MLB road because, you know, we want to put 35% of your salaries in escrow. And the players respond with, no, we would like all our money, bonus money. Oh, and we'd also like basically hazard pay. If they're going down the same road where counteroffers aren't even on the same wavelength. And that's a concern for me for, again, as Dale said, if you're following all the guidelines, you're sort of today beginning the process of heading to training camp, getting tested, quarantining, getting to the city, start. And we don't even know where they stand in terms of these agreements. We don't know how long the preseason. It was four. Oh, we're going to cut it to two.
Maybe
we don't
none.
Even want
right,
two,
exactly.
But we still want two. There's just a lot of balls in the air for the National Football League. And that at this point in the process has to be concerning.
I know that the McCourty brothers, who you know have got their great podcast, but they did Peter King's Football Morning in America column today. And they still don't sound as though they're committed to being able to come back and play.
Yeah, it's very weird. They have sounded for weeks like they're not fully committed. And then one of them, I believe Jason, sort of said, yeah, I'm going to play because if I don't play this year, I'll probably be watching
forever.
I'll
never play.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, my career's over.
Yeah.
But you sound really concerned and like you're considering not playing.
I feel like the NFL, if you really asked them, they're just sitting back praying for a vaccine. I think Roger Goodell and the owners are like, well, these other leagues can deal with it. We're not going to have to, right? Like,
but when's that coming?
No, it's not. I don't think it's
going to
happen in the fall.
You know, we've
but
seen...
I think if you really asked them to be honest, like they can't just say that.
Yeah.
But they're just praying that, well, we just you know get through the summer. They can figure out practices, and then the games are going to be fine. We're going to be fine.
And then what, though? Like, do you think you would get a 90-man roster? They'll all line up and take the vaccine?
Yeah.
You think all
if
of them
you're
would.
Like, hey, to play, you need to take it.
I don't think they all would.
They'd
and
all
especially
take,
the
I
first
think
week
take,
I think they
or the
would.
First month.
Do we know, are there any famous anti-vaxxers in the league?
I don't know if you have to be an anti-vaxxer to say, you know what, I'm going to hold off for a second on this rushed vaccine that is seems a little dangerous.
But if the players are like, all right, you don't have to take it, but then you can't play, then I think they'd say, all right, well, then
wait
I'm
a minute. And if I don't play, I don't get paid.
Correct.
Right, but.
Oh,
I mean,
wait.
I think some would choose not to play. I mean, J.J. Watt says he won't play if he has to wear a freaking full face mask. He says he might not play. And you don't think he might consider not lining up to get a needle jammed in him with who knows what and could have any result?
I made the point on Twitter a few minutes ago that when the Bruins had their first training camp, quote-unquote, training camp practice this morning at Warrior, that Bruce Cassidy and his assistant coaches on the ice were wearing masks. The Tampa Bay Lightning had their first training camp practice today. None of their coaches were wearing masks.
Well, it's
in the hottest hotspot in America, the Tampa Bay Lightning coaches elected to not. Here in Massachusetts, which has done a better job than most places in this country at, you know, getting that message across, getting the issue settled, they were wearing their masks on the ice.
Any truth that the Lightning coaches yelled, Trump 2020, it's my right to not wear a mask.
Well, aren't they all getting tested just as often as the players are?
Yeah.
Coaches?
Yeah, sure.
So are the players all wearing masks?
No, none of the players are.
So then the players can, like, so I think the coaches can get out there and coach the same, right? Like, when we see the games going on inside the bubble, like, is Brad Stevens going to be wearing a mask? I doubt it.
Might not be.
Yeah.
But who did, I think somebody, D'Antoni.
Yeah. Well, D'Antoni or Greg Popovich might.
Yeah.
But frankly, they should.
Well, no, but isn't it the reverse? Like, isn't it, if you're wearing a mask, you're less likely to give it to somebody, let alone get it. So, like, for D'Antoni and Popovich to feel safe, they need everybody else to wear the mask.
Right.
So I wouldn't wear it.
And the players aren't going to wear the masks because they're not going to
jog off the court
and put a mask on as they go to the huddle for 20-second timeout.
Like, if you're willing to go, I think you have to say, all right, this is what we're doing. We're going to get tested every single day. And as soon as somebody tests positive, I know Russell Westbrook just tested positive, they're going to yank you off, throw you in a room for 2 weeks, and that's how you deal with it.
Did you see where the NHL, they will not say that a player tested positive? And by the way, individual teams in the NHL are no longer in charge of their quote-unquote injury report. And the NHL will now handle all of that. And they put together this euphemistic phrase like, is unfit for practice today or whatever.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? So you can tell us if a guy has a sprained ankle, but you can't tell us if he has coronavirus. And oh, by the way, if he misses two games, I'm pretty sure I know he has coronavirus.
Yeah, it's I don't know what they think they're doing with these semantic games.
Yeah, it's weird.
Because we all sort of figured it out, you know?
Like, wow, Giannis isn't playing again? Like, right. I wonder what's going on.
If you tell me that, you know, player X is unfit for participation today, and you don't tell me that he's got an ankle or a wrist or whatever.
Well, then it's going to be so weird for coaches after the game. So they're like, so do you expect so-and-so back next game? I don't know. Yeah. Well, how come? I can't tell you guys. All right, so is it coronavirus? Well, I can't confirm.
HIPAA.
All right, well, that's what it is. Yeah, like, it's just...
And then if you use that, it's almost like you're confirming it. I don't even know. Because you've always told us before if it was an ankle. Now you're not.
I plead the fifth.
Like, if you don't tell us, it means it's corona.
Right. I didn't realize you were the protector of the HIPAA laws in America.
Someone's got
to
be.
Somebody has to. Nobody else is. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. What else you got's coming up at about 145, 150 or thereabouts, including one of the greatest game show moments in the history of man. We'll play all that for you in just a little bit. It's Dale and Keefe with Andy Hart, and it's time to trend.
Don't miss a minute of your favorite WEEI shows by using the Rewind feature in your radio.com app. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Bruins returned to practice today as training camp got underway. All of the key members of the team are on board for the return. First game for the Bees will be August 2nd against Philadelphia. Rockets guard Russell Westbrook says that he has tested positive for the coronavirus. He is feeling good and is in quarantine right now. Lakers guard Rajon Rondo suffered a broken thumb during practice. He's expected to be out 6 to 8 weeks. The Washington Redskins are making a change. The team announced today that they will be changing their name and logo, although they did not reveal what they're going with just yet.
Red Wolves.
They can't do that.
Fingers crossed on Red Bull. They're like, Red Bulls, by the way, very much.
That one guy, whoever he is.
Yeah.
He supposedly has every good nickname all locked up, but he also said he's willing to give it to the Washington football team. He's not looking to make money.
So what's the
point? What are you, an idiot?
Yeah, what's his angle? What's going on?
I don't trust it. Something fishy smells here. It's like, I want to be part owner. Like, well, no, that's not going to work. If you're working from home, keep up to date with Boston Sports Info by listening to WEEI on your smart speaker. Just say, hey, Alexa, play WEEI. I'm Rich Keefe. That's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
I think too much has changed and too much can change over the next month or so. It just makes it impossible not to expect something completely unpredictable. Maybe it's like the 99 lockout where you had the Knicks and 8 seed go all the way to the NBA Finals. But I just think something loopy is going to happen because this is not what the NBA left off with. This should not be considered where the teams were at mid-March. This is an entirely different thing. In a lot of cases with entirely different players, this is just a totally different thing. It's going to, I think, have some wacky results.
Earlier in the program, we spoke to Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated and SI.com. He is in the bubble in Orlando. He's embedded. He's also locked in his room for the next 6 days, but he's one day into a seven-day quarantine where he told us, guys, he literally is not allowed to leave his room.
What do you think would happen if he lost internet and TV?
Oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know what you do.
Because like, you could go crazy.
Yeah.
That would do it, huh? I mean, then you'd have to, I don't know, like read a book or something.
Where are you getting the book?
Yeah, where are you getting that book from? You probably didn't plan for it.
I have my Kindle. I have lots of books on my Kindle.
You could memorize
no, you don't have internet, Dan. I just told you you don't have internet.
You don't need internet to read your Kindle.
I don't have a Kindle.
So you got to download it ahead of time.
Yeah,
ahead of time.
If he planned for this, maybe he'd be able, because Netflix, you can do that too. There's some things you
can download. Some of the things, right.
But in all likelihood, he didn't plan for that. So he's got the Bible. He's got the bathroom.
See, TV and Wi-Fi, you have zero problem. I would have zero problem. A week, please. I'll do 6 weeks.
You'd be fine.
I don't care. As long as you're feeding me, right? You're feeding me. I have no problem. But if you lose power, you're just like sitting around. You're like, well, now what?
You could go crazy.
Yeah.
No air conditioning then.
You'd for sure.
No power.
Well, then they got to give you a new room or something.
I could work on my screenplay.
You have a screenplay?
Yeah.
Loosely based on your life?
Yeah, I would. I'd just start my memoirs. I'd start writing them.
Not all that interested.
No, wouldn't be great.
So earlier we talked about Mannix and his concerns as he looks at the possibility of the upcoming playoffs. He thinks there's the chance this could be a little bit ugly.
It's all positive right now. At some point, there's going to be negatives. At some point, you're going to see guys that just aren't in shape, whose shooting percentages plummet. I think the shooting percentages in this playoffs are going to be awful. I think they're going to be college basketball level. My opinion, college basketball is that sucks from top to bottom. Like, it's going to be bad, bad shooting in these NBA playoffs. And I think that's going to play well for teams that are able to score on the inside, that have great defenses, that have interior presences on both ends of the floor. Like, that's something to watch closely as we move forward. Like, how teams are able to manufacture offense when those three-point shots just aren't falling.
He is, in the course of those two answers, he had me hyped up.
Yeah.
For the NBA postseason. Oh,
and
loopy
not
stuff.
So much.
And then just a kick in the stones because I'm with him. There is the few things worse than just watching college basketball teams miss threes. It is bad basketball.
Oh, yeah, it's bad. I mean, remember that one championship, actually, I think it was the Kemba Walker one against Brad Stevens. We were like, what is this?
It's
like these
awful.
Guys couldn't shoot. They were playing in that huge football arena, and they're so not used to it. And it was just gross. But I wonder, they're all playing eight games to wrap up and to reseed and do that, right? They're playing eight games at the end, or teams chasing that eighth spot. Between the eight games, and maybe I'll even give you the first round, shouldn't you knock some of that off? Shouldn't you be a lot better off once the second round rolls
depends
around?
Depends how you come in, and he's
if
right.
If you've been out, though, for like literally 3-4 months, can you get that back in a week or two?
If you're in shape, I think you can.
Well,
but if you're combining, you haven't been shooting, you've lost your shooting touch, and you're carrying about 12 pounds, you haven't really run, you don't have your legs under you.
Well, okay.
That whole combination of
some
factors.
Of those guys are in trouble. But if you're talking about 2 weeks to basically have like a training camp, then you have, I think, maybe a couple exhibition games, and then eight real games. And again, I put real. Like, the Celtics already know they're in the playoffs. They just don't know who their opponent is. So you can treat those eight games any way you want. Like Brad Stevens already said, Kemba Walker is going to be on a kind of a minutes thing for those games. But then once the playoffs start, and if everything's good with him, he's not going to be on a minutes restriction. Those games, I'm with him. They could definitely be pretty gross. There could be some really low scoring, some horrible three-point shooting percentages. But once the playoffs roll around, I mean, these guys should be able to get it back, I would think.
I would think. They should. I don't know that there's a guarantee of that. And I do think you have an advantage. If you can play Giannis bully ball and just, okay, I'm just going to push you out of the way and dunk on you.
Although, interestingly, he said he is awful right now.
Yeah.
But I mean, he'll. I'm sure he'll get it back.
His game will translate a lot quicker. Yeah. And the other thing, Mannix.
What's he going to miss, dunks?
Mannix was dead on about, you know, you got Philadelphia, not this great shooting team, but they're big. And if all of a sudden the game's kind of ugly, I don't know. Maybe their advantage, like the Celtics, they love the 3-point shot. Love it. They'll have lineups, all five guys are launching them. And if they are missing, yikes. And then, all right, here comes advantage. A guy like Ben Simmons who doesn't even take any. And all of a sudden, he's a much, you know, more dominant player.
And to your point, Chris Mannix said the Celtics should want anyone but the Sixers.
I think Philadelphia is sitting pretty right now. I mean, Philadelphia in mid-March, they were a disaster. I mean, they were playing out the string. Ben Simmons was done, and now here they are. Ben Simmons is back, and pictures looks like a monster out there, and they're the team that couldn't shoot threes anyway. So now everybody else is kind of playing maybe on their playing field. They've got a great defense, three lockdown defenders with Simmons, Embiid, and Josh Richardson, and an ability to score high percentage shots through Embiid in the low post. I look at Philly, I mean, I don't know how much like maneuvering is going to be done for that opening or those opening round playoff spots, but if you're Boston, you want to make sure you get nothing to do with them.
100%, and especially when you factor in the Pacers, who right now have the same record as Philly. They have the tiebreaker right now, but that'll be determined. Victor Oladipo's not playing. The Nets, who are right below Philly, none of their guys are playing. So I wouldn't be surprised if Philly moves up. And if you're the Celtics, you got to make sure you either stay there at three or try to climb up to two if they can do that. But yeah, if you can avoid Philly, great. You know, if you don't face them until the second round, okay.
Well, and we talked about this with Chris. If in fact he's right and the shooting percentages are awful and guys are launching shots, the Celtics weren't a great rebounding team to begin with.
No.
And if the game has suddenly become a whole bunch of missed shots and rebounds and putbacks, aren't they up against it almost from the beginning if that's what the game is when they start the playoffs?
Yeah, especially against a team like Philly. Now, if you're going up against a team, really anybody in the East outside of Philly, maybe it won't be as dramatic. I mean, Milwaukee, yes, Milwaukee's also big and can rebound. But, you know, any of the other matchups, maybe you're both kind of in it together. And then ultimately the Celtics just have more talent, you know, especially the top four or five guys on the roster compared to Indiana or, I mean, even Miami, if they end up with Miami, and obviously the team's lower than that, I think they'd be in good shape.
But so much of it is an unknown due to the being in good shape. You know, some guys could look more explosive. It doesn't have to be you're settling for threes. If a couple guys come in significantly better shape than the guy guarding them, and they're just blowing by them, and you could see guys tapping out, I think, in games pretty early, like who just don't have the conditioning. Now, as you said, maybe it evolves through the course of couple exhibition games, you know, the eight regular games, and then into the maybe the first round you look terrible, and then all of a sudden some team, oh, he squeaked by in that first round, and now you kind of hit your stride and came back together.
I'm trying to also equate it to the sport that I follow most closely. Who's going to have the advantage early on in the return to play in the NHL? Is it shooters or is it goaltenders?
It's a good question. I mean,
and I don't know the answer, by the way.
No. Because, like, in football, what would you say? Is the defense ahead of the offense, or is the offense ahead of the defense?
I think the defense ahead of the offense.
Right, a little bit,
see,
right?
See, I think the offense is just because they know where they're going. Defense is reacting.
Yeah, see, I go the other way because I think the offense is supposed to know where it's going, but especially when you have, you know, Brady looking for, oh, I want you at 7.5 yards, not eight, and you're at eight, and when they're, oh, you rounded that one off, Nikhil, we're not quite where we want to be. Whereas defensively, you're playing physical, reactionary football. I think early, and I've seen that at times, where Brady gets really frustrated in some of the when he used to go to OTAs and work out in the summer.
I remember that time.
Yeah.
That he wouldn't
back
be on
then.
The same page with guys. So,
right.
But, I mean, a goaltender and shooters, I don't know. That's a great question. And I think in general, Chris is right. Shooting will be down. Just how can it not be?
Right.
Shooters took a long layoff. They're shooting in different. Even if they were shooting in their, you know, Chris Paul, we saw his horse court in his backyard.
Yeah.
That's not the same thing as what he's going to be facing in Orlando.
Right.
Now, the highest profile NBA player who we now know has tested positive, I think, is Russell Westbrook, right?
Well, Durant.
Yeah, for sure. Well, for this wave of like the most recent
ones. He was
ones.
Before, but right. Yes.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
And we now know he's tested positive. We don't know what that means because supposedly what we've read about these things is when you test positive, they don't even let you work out.
Yeah, so
you've got to get a cardiologist approval and yada, yada.
If they stick with what like the protocols, which I assume early on they absolutely will, that's 2 weeks where he's out. Now, it comes at a better time.
Yes.
Because the first games don't even start for 2.5 weeks. I mean, there's a chance he doesn't even miss a game.
That's why I'm fascinated by this whole thing of oh, we're going to, as a league, the NHL, we're taking over injury reports and we'll decide what information. It's easy to say so-and-so's sitting out as we're in training camp. It's a different thing if you get to a game and, oh, Giannis is out. Oh, he, yeah, and you can fudge it. And I just don't know how trustworthy I am, because I know Silver has already said, Adam Silver has already said, I don't care if it's an all-star or a journeyman. We're going to stick to the plan that we've put together with all these experts and the protocols.
By the way, I believe him. I really do.
I don't know if I do. I'm a skeptic.
I'm just telling you, if and I'll just use LeBron as our example just for the sake of argument. If LeBron tests positive and they say, oh, okay, let's pretend he didn't test positive. Let's get him out there. And then something really bad happens, they're in a heap of trouble.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, oh, it was false positive. We you know, the variants and the testing or something. Or
like right now.
I just can't envision that. Right okay, now, we're hyping up the NBA Finals.
Well, you have to say all that, first of all.
No, yeah, you have to say.
But I also think.
I understand.
Everybody's going to, who's test positive now, it's easy to do that. But you're right. Game 7, NBA Finals, yes. LeBron versus Giannis. LeBron goes down with the corona, but he feels great, right? Like that's what Russell Westbrook said. He's like, I feel fine, but I have it. That's tough. It's like, all right, how many people know? How many people do we need to cover this thing up?
Correct.
Yeah.
I have doubts. Or what if it's both? What if it's AD and LeBron or something? And you're like, our finals
what
just fell apart.
Just,
we can't do this.
Right.
We know good people go with good ideas, and then reality hits.
Well, what they would do is they would, however many times you can test them in a day,
right,
and then you hope to find the one negative, and then you're like, all
oh,
set.
No, he's got them right here. Look at all these. Ignore all the positives that are in a line on this. Just see this Excel spreadsheet. Line 47 found a negative, so he's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, today, for instance, we know that 9 members of the Pittsburgh Penguins were kind of set aside here, and I don't mean as crudely as that sounds. We're not going to let them practice. We're not gonna, because they may have been exposed to somebody. Now, in a best case scenario, they're fine. They're back at practice tomorrow or the next day.
Right.
But God forbid 9 of them test positive tomorrow or the next day. I mean, it almost takes the Penguins and ends their possibility of return, right? If 6 guys on the Houston Rockets test positive, where do they go from there?
Well, if they test positive today, I think you kind of suck it up and you have the rest. That's why you have the expanded rosters, all these teams do, and you say, all right, we're going to be ready, and hopefully in 2 weeks' time, these guys are ready to go. But that's the biggest issue is going to be once you get into a playoff series and games are every other day and you have to quarantine that many guys for 2 weeks, then you got bigger issues.
Pressures will change.
Or
what if
issues.
It were just as simple as it's game 7? Do you think 9 guys, because they had secondary contact, are going to be held out of game 7? No, you're going to roll the dice. You're going to absolutely roll the dice.
Oh, yeah. You'll have guys that are kind of out of shape. They won't be able to play as many minutes. But guess what? 20 minutes out of LeBron is better than 20 from some other guy.
You're going to err on the side of stardom, and I'll do it again. I'm going to squeeze my monies together.
Money.
Although the ratings might be huge if, LeBron is bent. Like, people would watch that out of, what the hell's going on?
I've got to
watch this.
Everything. As soon as sports come back, I will watch every
you
second
feel like
of it.
That's true.
You know, I was watching soccer.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm
but
good.
You like soccer.
No, I do. No, but
yeah, you
I'm,
get
I'm
me
just
to
saying.
Watch soccer, Dale, and you've done something.
No, but I was watching, the Revolution play. I mean, please, give me sports.
Yeah, I'm in. Whatever you got, I'll have some.
All right, what else you got? We've got Desmond Howard coming up. We've got Chris Scheim coming up. We've got Bruce Smith in a rather embarrassing moment for him and the game show industry. All of that on what else you got coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Ready for more? Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, let's get to a couple of things that we may have missed earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Andy?
Dale, I think this audio speaks for itself, and I'm just rather disappointed.
Do you have Newton in your top 20?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
God, yeah.
Andy Hart just looking more like a boob.
Yeah, Andy Hart didn't. Ow. That was, I don't know, what that was. That, was
I have
a
no,
Stidham
I,
guy?
I have no comment on
you have no. I refuse to speak. Are you
I have to work with him tomorrow morning, so I refuse to call him a boob.
Oh, so Hart's returning from his vacation tomorrow. What time are you guys on tomorrow?
9 to 1.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll tune in. His response to that.
Can we make sure that we save that just because I'd like that for tomorrow morning.
Run that.
I'd like to play it on a continuous loop. Andy Hart is a boob.
Let the record show, Hart. I did not call you a boob. You lumped me in there shoves. Chris Schoen called you, but Chris Schoen not here to defend himself, by the way.
Dickerson
just like
kind
you
of
weren't
agreed.
There to defend
himself. How can he defend himself against calling Andy Hart a boob?
I'm not a boob,
Dale. Or to prove that he is, I guess. Maybe.
Dale, it's
or
hurtful.
To double down on it, maybe.
It's hurtful.
It's not here.
Don't believe
yeah.
I'm a boob.
Well,
man can't have an opinion about a player without being called a boob in this town.
Apparently
Cam
not.
Newton as the 22nd best quarterback is a boob take. But I'd
say boob
let the
take?
Show.
I'll take a boob.
What else you got?
Rich?
Well, on ESPN, they've recently been doing a thing where they have, like, Kendrick Perkins talking about, you know, football and
He's
MMA.
He's a 1-2-4 down running back.
Yep, that was a little bit of perk from last Friday. And so this time around, Desmond Howard, former Heisman Trophy winner, great
yep.
return man, unfortunately, for the Patriots back in 96.
Yep. Football guy.
Football guy, college football guy specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they got him talking a little hoops, as
hoops.
It turns out. But they've been doing a big thing about who has the best chance to be the best athlete or the biggest star over the next 10 years in all of sports. And I think the obvious answer for most people is Patrick Mahomes.
Yep.
Especially the sport that he plays, the position that he plays, the contract that he just signed, everything else. But Desmond Howard has a different answer. He's going with Luka Doncic.
The thing about Mahomes is, you know, he's an exceptional talent. But don't forget, he didn't win MVP of the 2019 season because he got injured. So now you're betting on him staying healthy for another 10 years. Which I don't think is a smart bet. Hopefully, he will stay healthy, but he
Thank
was already
you.
Hurt last year. That's why he didn't win MVP of the league. I would go with Luka. I like Luka. I think Luka, a young NBA talent, the guy has all the skills. Greeny, you alluded to it earlier. He led the league in triple-doubles. He was heavy into the MVP conversation. I think he has a style of play that's sustainable for 10 to 12 years. He's not playing outside himself. He has a great feel for the game. So I would go with Luka.
Stop it.
That's ridiculous.
I love Luka Doncic. He's very, very good.
I do too.
The biggest star in the next 10 years. Come on.
And who? Isn't
Mahomes.
There a chance?
Mahomes.
No. What about Zion? Isn't there a chance he's going to be a massive star?
Yes. He's got the star.
He's already a star.
But who'll be the better player?
I don't. No. That
Different
wasn't
question.
The question.
Fair enough.
Star.
Biggest star. No, I would think Zion has a better chance
to
be the bigger star.
I don't know that Luka will be a top four star in the
star?
NBA.
No, maybe not.
Right? And you're going to tell me he's the biggest star in sports? And the goalpost moved in the middle there. One guy didn't win the MVP because he was hurt. So you're acknowledging he's the most valuable player. He was just hurt, so he didn't win it.
Right.
The other guy, you said, well, he's in the MVP conversation.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, I guess they're probably told on that show, like, listen, you can't say it's Mahomes, so you got to pick somebody else. Or we're going to tell you to pick Doncic, and here's what you have to say. But
just
I don't
do
even know.
That, okay,
is that one?
Yeah.
I don't even know if Desmond Howard believes it.
No,
yeah, I think
doesn't.
In that segment, they actually had Buster making the case for Mahomes.
Probably. Probably
I'm not
did.
Sure. I'm not no. sure. Isn't it Luca's mom who's like the darling of the internet?
I don't know, Dale. You got to fill me in on that.
Oh, yeah. Take a look.
I'm Googling as we speak.
I'm not sure she thinks.
Luka Doncic mom pops right up. Let me see how the computer comes.
And, take a look.
Miriam Potterman?
All right. Have a little respect.
What else you got?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
She's
so last. I know she's a very attractive lady. So last night in the 8 o'clock hour on Sunday night TV, the biggest show on television was Family Feud. I know you find that hard to believe, but Family Feud was taped a while ago, and last night's episode featured the Hall of Famers, including our buddy, our great friend of the show, Michael Irvin, and a bunch of others, against the young guns in the NFL. And so at some point during the course of you know, Steve Harvey bringing the guys up, you had to bring in a Hall of Famer from the Buffalo Bills to answer a question that didn't go very well.
If Captain Hook was moonlighting as a handyman, he might replace his hook with what tool?
A hammer.
Try again.
A penis.
Tell me the age a kid is too old to sleep with a ten. What the
So Bruce Smith,
well,
after he got buzzed on hammer, that had already been taken.
But he can't say it twice.
Michael Irvin used hammer, so he couldn't use that.
I mean, there is some logic involved, I guess.
The
what does
handyman.
A hammer do? What does a hammer do?
Excuse me?
What does a hammer do?
Hammer nails.
What's another word for hammering nails? You're banging nails. So he went down like, you know, word association.
Boom,
there's just a lot of
down.
Balls.
I don't know.
The logic's there, but the delayed response is interesting. You see exactly how long
Steve Harvey.
Steve Harvey's like reading on to the next thing. He's like, hold on a second.
Wait, what the bleep did he just say?
Correct. That's key to interviewing, though. You don't just skip on to the next question.
Nope.
You have to hear
the
answer.
Listen.
Hear the answer.
I wish this were TV in this regard. I wish you could see the reaction of all of Bruce Smith's teammates on the Hall of Fame team, Michael Irvin and the other guys. Yeah. I mean, they lost it.
As they should. Yeah,
there's some logic to Bruce Smith's answer,
yes,
if you think about it.
Yeah, bang a nail.
Well, okay.
Many a movie has started with the handyman showing up to do some work, Dale.
That is true.
Many really, a movie. Is that true?
Popular films.
Yeah, they're right. Popular in certain areas.
Yeah. We got to get out of here. Andy, good to talk to you again.
See ya.
Richard, see you tomorrow. OMF is coming up next. Bye.
There's just a lot of balls.
That's all, folks.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.